Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Pete Musto and Katie Weaver. Later, Anna Mateo will have this week's health report. But first, congressional Republicans and Democrats reached agreement on a bill funding the federal government through September 30th. Congress is expected to approve the $1 trillion spending bill later this week. Without congressional action, some American government operations would stop and many federal employees would be forced to stay away from their jobs. The bill sets spending levels for U.S.-based programs, such as medical research, education, and environmental protection. It also sets spending levels for foreign aid. For example, the bill would provide $990 million to aid the international response to severe food shortages, mostly in Nigeria, South Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen. Almost $7 billion would go to programs that assist refugees and others displaced by conflict. Another $100 million would fund what members of Congress say is countering Russian influence in Europe and South and Central Asia. The bill would also provide $358 million for international anti-terrorism programs. That includes efforts to cut financing for terrorist groups, improve border and airport security, and keep materials used for weapons of mass destruction from terrorists. The bill also provides over $6 billion to address security needs at 275 American embassies and diplomatic offices around the world. The budget bill accepts some proposals of the administration of President Donald Trump, but not others. For example, it does not provide the president's request to provide money for a wall along the United States border with Mexico. The bill also does not fund a request from the administration to employ additional immigration control officers. But congressional Republicans said the bill would provide a $1.5 billion down payment for improved border security measures proposed by the Trump administration. However, the bill would raise spending on the U.S. military as Trump requested. The increase provided in the bill would be $25 billion over the 2016 budget, House Republicans reported. The bill includes some cuts in international aid requested by the Trump administration. For example, it would cut aid to the United Nations and other international organizations by $640 million. There was no immediate comment by UN officials about the effect of such cuts on its operations. Republicans and Democrats in Congress negotiated the legislation. Vice President Mike Pence appeared on CBS This Morning, Monday, to say that President Donald Trump supports the bill. "We couldn't be more pleased," Pence said. He called the bill a win for the American people. Senator Charles Schumer of New York leads Senate Democrats. He also praised the spending agreement. He said, This agreement is a good agreement for the American people and takes the threat of a government shutdown off the table. He said the bill removes some proposals opposed by Democrats, such as an ineffective wall along the Mexican border. But the bill would increase spending for programs important to middle-class Americans, such as medical research and education, Schumer said. Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin leads Republicans in the House of Representatives. He holds the powerful position of Speaker of the House. He said, America will be stronger and safer because of this government funding bill. It acts on President Trump's commitment to rebuild our military for the 21st century and bolster our nation's border security to protect our homeland. Under the bill, some American foreign aid would come with conditions. For example, the bill would withhold aid to Pakistan unless the government cooperates with the U.S. to fight terrorism. Aid to Egypt would require its leaders to continue its current partnership with the U.S. and continue the nation's peace treaty with Israel. The bill also places conditions on continued U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority. The group must show willingness to take steps to reduce violence against Israelis. Parts of the legislation are aimed at China. One measure would ban processed poultry from China from being used in the United States Department of Agriculture's school meal program. The bill also includes funding to cover costs to New York City and Florida for security for President Trump and his family. Trump's wife and son have remained in New York City so the son could complete the school year at a city school. We are getting what we are owed, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said. That's good news for our city and the hardworking police officers.
The United States is defending President Donald Trump's decision to invite Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte to the White House. The two presidents spoke by telephone on Saturday. Trump noted the need to strengthen an Asian alliance against the growing threat from North Korea's military. A White House statement described the discussions between the Philippines and U.S. presidents as very friendly. Trump told Duterte that he was interested in developing a warm working relationship. However, the White House statement about Trump's call to Duterte did not note international condemnation of some of the Philippine leader's policies.
Rodrigo Duterte has been strongly criticized for his war on drug trafficking. Last year, then United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned Duterte's support for extrajudicial killings. Philippine forces are accused of executing drug suspects before they can be tried. Ban called the killings a breach of fundamental human rights and freedoms. Some observers estimate that more than 6,000 people have been killed in Duterte's war on drugs since he took office last year. Duterte himself told British media last year that he personally killed three suspects while he was mayor of the southern city of Davao. Relations between the United States and the Philippines worsened last June after Duterte became president. The administration of then-President Barack Obama criticized the Philippines for a lack of respect of the rule of law in its campaign against drug dealers. Gerard Finnan is with the East-West Institute. He told VOA's Victor Beatty that a meeting of Trump and Duterte could have good results. He added that, until now, U.S. efforts to get the Philippines to respect the law in its anti-drug trafficking campaign have not succeeded. Finnan said the administration will be able to give a message to the Philippine leader during talks at the White House. Finnan noted that the Philippine war on drugs appeared to ease in October after the death of a South Korean businessman at National Police Headquarters in Manila. Since then, however, the violence has grown worse.
Trump's calls to the Asian leaders took place within days of another test of a missile by North Korea. However, the U.S. effort to build support for Asian nations is considered part of an effort to increase pressure on the North Korean government. North Korea has continued to test long-range missiles in violation of United Nations Security Council resolutions. On Monday, Trump said he is willing to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un under the right conditions to discuss the North's nuclear activities. I'm Mario Ritter.
Millions of people share material like videos and news stories with their friends and family over the internet every day. They use social media websites like Facebook and Twitter to do so. In 2016, the Pew Research Center reported about 62% of adults in the United States get their news from social media. Now, some U.S. colleges and universities have decided they want some of that internet action. And they are using a kind of web content known as clickbait to get it. Clickbait is content that is designed to attract web users and persuade them to click on a link to a web page. Clickbait often uses shocking headlines that make users feel like they have to know more, like what famous stars look like without makeup, or five common foods that could kill you. People are likely to want to learn what those foods are. So they click on the link. Often, this leads to a page with an advertisement written as a news report. And the page is also usually filled with more clickbait.
The more clicks these websites get, the more advertisers pay the website owners. BuzzFeed is one of the most popular websites in the U.S. For years, critics have viewed BuzzFeed as a major source for what they call clickbait. Some BuzzFeed reports are based on lists like 23 things parents should never apologize for, or 50 tweets that show how different America and Britain are. The lists include lots of pictures and little written information. Other BuzzFeed reports are advertisements, like 13 things you could actually buy if you didn't have student loan debt. The University of Wyoming paid for that one. The ad promotes the school's lower costs of education. Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was one of the first universities to partner with BuzzFeed in 2015. Shortly after, schools like Indiana University and the University of Wyoming began working with BuzzFeed as well.
Chad Baldwin is the Vice President of Communications at the University of Wyoming. His school paid $100,000 for two pieces of material from BuzzFeed in 2016. He admits it was costly, but he said the stories on BuzzFeed have received more than 100,000 views. There are a lot of the traditional things we still use, Baldwin said, but the social media element is huge, and anyone who resists engaging in those ways is probably going to get left behind. Jay Baer is the creator of US-based Convince and Convert, a marketing company that deals mostly with social media. He is also a parent of a high school student currently choosing a college to attend. Baer said there are many media companies that do this type of branded advertising for businesses. This includes large newspapers like the New York Times. And he feels that universities should have considered this method of advertising much sooner. But he also said he is concerned about the ethics of universities using this kind of advertising and about news media sites that receive money from businesses.
As a parent, I wondered whether this was actually informing potential students and how trustworthy it is, Baer said. Does it concern me as a citizen that people who report the news are also making material for money? Yeah, of course. But I don't know what the alternative is. Stephen Logadisi is the Vice President of Global Brand Development for BuzzFeed. He said BuzzFeed does not create clickbait, and its content is not all paid advertising. Logadisi said BuzzFeed understands how young people react to advertising. He said most do not trust or even see information on television or in print media. He said young people seek information from content shared on social media.
It's always been, how do I get the message that I want to say in front of the people I need it in front of, Logadisi said. With social media now, companies have to think about, how do I say what they want to hear and not necessarily what I want to say. And at the end of the day, now companies are competing with friends and family and coworkers and trusted news sources and all these other things. In traditional advertising, a company tells an advertiser exactly the kind of message it wants to send. But BuzzFeed studies its most popular stories and uses that information to create copy. Instead of forcing people to listen to a company's message, BuzzFeed includes parts of that message in with other interesting material. For example, the online music service Spotify paid BuzzFeed for a branded marketing campaign in 2014. BuzzFeed then created a story for them with the headline, 15 of the best bands to come from college campuses.
Jennifer Cronin is a professor of marketing and social media in the Mendoza School of Business at the University of Notre Dame. She noted that BuzzFeed's materials could be considered clickbait. But she said, there is also nothing wrong with that. And the website clearly shows what is and is not paid advertising, she said. Yet she did warn that several companies have faced trouble recently for things they have said or shared themselves online. Companies can lose public favor easily if they are connected to online material considered offensive or untrustworthy. She said, colleges are supposed to be very elite and centered on academics. And so, when you use these other methods, if you do it poorly, then there is the chance that you could harm your reputation. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Pete Musto.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. You may not realize it, but your bones are living tissue. And that tissue is always breaking down and regrowing. When the growth of new bone tissue does not keep up with the loss of old bone tissue, you may develop a medical condition called osteoporosis. Osteoporosis literally means porous bones. Normal bones have many tiny holes. With osteoporosis, the bones become so thin in places that even a simple stretch or a cough can result in a bone fracture. Some fractures, like hip fractures, can lead to death. The National Center for Biotechnology Information in the United States says some reports show that up to 50% of patients with hip fracture die within 6 months. About 200 million people worldwide have osteoporosis. Health experts say that number will increase greatly as the world's population gets older. After all, everyone's bones weaken with age. The International Osteoporosis Foundation says that 1 in 3 women over the age of 50 will experience an osteoporotic fracture. The organization says for men over 50, the probability is 1 in 5. Usually, people get osteoporosis as a result of hormonal changes, or from a lack of calcium or vitamin D. White and Asian people are at higher risk for the disease. Women are more likely to get it than men. Old people, small people, and those with a family history of osteoporosis are also at higher risk for the disease. There are behaviors that can help prevent osteoporosis. Eating healthful foods, being physically active, and avoiding tobacco and alcohol use are important. However, one of the most important things that will protect you against osteoporosis when you are older is how much bone mass you get when you are young. The better your bone mass, the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis when you get older. According to several health websites, our bones are at their strongest between the ages of 20 to 30. Bones, like muscles, react to pressure. When bones experience increased impact or force, they grow new cells. So it is important that children do high-impact activities like running, playing sports like basketball and volleyball, and simple jumping. Jumping jacks and jumping rope are great exercises for a child's bone growth. These impact exercises will help to build up bone mass needed later in life. As we said earlier, inactivity is bad for your bones. However, even people who exercise often can have low bone density. This can lead to osteoporosis. For example, meet bicyclist Dean Hargett. Every week, Hargett bikes more than 160 kilometers. This exercise is great for his heart, but it doesn't do much for his bones. Hargett was surprised when the doctors told him that he had low bone density.
It alarmed me. I don't want to have fragile bones. I want to be able to be, you know, strong and healthy throughout the rest of my life.
So swimming and cycling might be great for your heart, but they do not do a lot for regrowing your bones. And even if you are very active and exercise often, that does not necessarily mean you have strong bones. Pam Hinton is a researcher in nutrition, exercise, and bone health at the University of Missouri in the United States. Hinton studied how two kinds of exercises affected men's bone health: resistance and jump training. Resistance training is a form of exercise in which you work against force. The study took place over a 12-month period. The results showed that resistance exercises did more than just slow the rate of bone loss.
We actually saw an increase in bone mass with either type of exercise, so that was a very encouraging and exciting result.
Bicyclist Dean Hargett is encouraged by the news. He now knows he has to do more than cycle to stay healthy. He also has a warning: do not take bone strength for granted. In other words, do not make the mistake of thinking your bones are always going to be strong and healthy.
Don't take your bone strength for granted. They can wither just like any other part of your body.
So, to help your bones stay healthy, the National Osteoporosis Foundation in the U.S. suggests doing weight-bearing and muscle-strengthening exercises. Examples of high-impact weight-bearing exercises are dancing, hiking, jogging or running, jumping rope, stair climbing, and tennis. For muscle-strengthening exercises, they suggest lifting weights, using weight machines, and lifting your own body weight. And remember, what you put into your body matters too. Get enough calcium and vitamin D. New research shows that vitamin K may also be good for your bones. Good sources of vitamin K include dark leafy greens, such as kale and spinach. Lower your use of salt. Avoid soda and too much alcohol. Both can affect how your body uses calcium. And if you smoke, quit. That's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.